I earned my degree online at Arizona State University. I chose to get my degree at ASU because I knew that I'd get a quality education, they were recognized for excellence, and that I would be prepared for the workforce upon graduating. To be associated with ASU, both as a student and alum, it makes me extremely proud, and having experienced the program, I know now that I'm set up for success. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
I am a man of the outdoors. My sun-weathered skin was a map of the countless trails I had patrolled as a ranger in Yellowstone National Park. My eyes, sharp as an eagle's, had seen the birth of more than one spring in the park. This was, in short, my sanctuary, my home, and I knew it like the back of my hand. But today, a peculiar tension filled the air as I began training a young, eager rookie named Lila. We were on a patrol on one of the less frequented trails, the kind that winds through the dense forest, carving a secret path through nature's grandeur. Lila, with her fresh-faced enthusiasm and boundless energy, listened intently to every word of wisdom I imparted. Her eyes danced with excitement at every rustle of a leaf or chirp of a bird, a stark contrast to my own gaze that remained steadfastly vigilant. It was a beautiful day, the kind where the sky stretched out like a canvas painted a perfect shade of blue, unblemished by clouds. The trail was relatively quiet, the only sounds being the comforting crunch of our boots against the earth and the distant murmur of the river that serenaded it. But that tranquility was abruptly shattered by a scream, echoing through the trees like a warning siren from another world. We both froze, our hearts pounding in unison. The scream had come from the direction of the Forbidden Trail, a place even the most seasoned rangers avoided. It was a place shrouded in whispers and legends, a place where the rules of the park were as ineffectual as a screen door on a submarine. We exchanged a knowing glance, and without a word, we made the split decision to investigate. Our steps quickened as we ventured into the unknown, the air thick with a mix of dread and responsibility. The trail grew denser as we approached the off-limits area, the foliage closing in around us like a living wall. The scream had been cut short, leaving behind a silence so profound it felt like we were intruders in a sacred place. The hairs on the back of my neck stood on end, and I could see in Lila's wide eyes that she felt it too. As we reached the point where the trails met, we found ourselves standing before a gaping maw of darkness. The Forbidden Trail beckoned us with a sense of foreboding that seemed almost tangible. The scream had led us to a crossroads, one that marked the boundary of our world and the one beyond the rules. We took a moment to gather ourselves, the gravity of our situation weighing heavily on our shoulders. We were trained for such emergencies, for encounters with wildlife and lost tourists, but nothing in our manuals had prepared us for this. I gave Lila a firm nod, and together we stepped into the shadowy embrace of the Forbidden Path. The forest grew eerily quiet, the usual symphony of nature sounds replaced by an almost oppressive silence that seemed to swallow us whole. Our flashlights pierced the gloom, illuminating the twisted roots and gnarled trees that formed a natural cathedral around us. Every step we took felt like a trespass, a silent echo bouncing back from the ancient stones of the earth beneath us. The trail grew steeper, the air colder, and we could sense that we were being watched by unseen eyes. It was as if the very essence of the park had turned hostile, resenting our intrusion into its most sacred place. Yet we pushed on, driven by the primal instinct to help, to protect. We had been walking for what felt like hours when we finally reached a clearing. In the center stood a figure, huddled and trembling. As we approached, the figure looked up, and we saw that it was a young woman, her face a mask of terror and relief. She clutched at her arms, which was visibly broken, and her clothes were torn and bloodied. The sight of her snapped us out of our fearful reverie. We rushed to her side, Lila already reaching for her first aid kit. But as we knelt beside her, we realized that the blood on her clothing wasn't just from her injuries. There was something different about it. A metallic scent filled the air, one that didn't belong in the natural world we were so accustomed to. Her eyes locked onto ours, and she spoke in a voice that seemed to come from far away.
"You shouldn't have come here. Now you're in the same danger I am."
With those cryptic words, she passed out, and the forest around us seemed to hold its breath in anticipation of what was to come. The silence grew heavier, the darkness in the clearing deepening, and we knew that we had stumbled upon something much greater than a simple rescue mission. That metallic scent grew stronger, a hint of something otherworldly that had made the hair on my arms stand on end. Lila's eyes met mine, her own fear mirrored in the flickering light of our flashlights at this point. We had to act fast. The woman's condition was crucial, and we were miles from any medical help. Lila's trembling hands worked with surprising deftness, wrapping the woman's arm with a splint and bandages. I took charge of our surroundings, scanning the tree line for any sign of what had caused her distress. As we worked, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being herded, that the forest itself was pushing us into a direction it wanted us to go. The trail behind us had vanished, swallowed by the encroaching vegetation as if it had never existed. The only path ahead was the one that we had taken. The woman stirred, her eyes fluttering open to reveal a gaze filled with a mix of fear and urgency.
"You must leave," she whispered, her voice barely audible. "It's coming."
Her words sent a shiver down my spine. The air grew colder, the quietness of the forest now a deafening roar in our ears. Lila looked up, her eyes questioning. I nodded, and we carefully lifted.
"I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor."
"Hey, good morning."
"Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most."
"Yep, they sure are."
"We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line." "Oh, I shouldn't have looked down."
"It's all right.
We're so far up here."
"Look at me. Take a deep breath."
"No, I'm good. So good."
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
The injured woman, supporting her weight between us. She leaned heavily on us, her legs unsteady. We had to get her to safety, to somewhere we could radio for help. We retraced our steps, moving as swiftly and quietly as we could manage. The forest seemed to close in around us, the trees leaning in, their branches whispering secrets we didn't dare to hear. The only sounds were our labored breaths and the crunch of leaves underfoot, which seemed amplified in the stillness. The tension grew with every step, our hearts racing in sync with the unseen danger lurking just out of sight. We had to be close to the park boundary, to civilization, to safety. But the trail remained elusive, twisting and turning in on itself like a serpent coiling around its prey. Suddenly, the woman's grip tightened on my arm, her nails digging into my skin.
"It's here," she gasped.
We turned, our flashlights sweeping the clearing. And there, in the shadows at the edge of the light, we saw them. The gleaming eyes of something not of this world. The creature was massive. A hulking form that seemed to be a twisted amalgamation of the park's wildlife. It stepped into the open, its fur a mottled mess of gray and brown, standing out starkly against the night. Its eyes were the color of molten gold, and they burned with a hunger that was almost palpable. The woman's grip tightened, her body quivering with fear.
"Hurry,"
she urged, her voice strained with pain. We broke into a run, trying. The woman's weight a secondary concern as the creature's unnatural howl echoed through the trees. The forest seemed to come alive around us, branches snapping and leaves rustling as we pushed ourselves to the brink of exhaustion. The creature's footsteps were a thunderous drumbeat, closing the distance between us with alarming speed. We stumbled upon an old ranger's cabin, decommissioned. Its windows shattered, the door hanging off its hinges. Without a second thought, we barreled inside, slamming the door shut and barricading it with the heavy table. The cabin was musty and long abandoned, but it was shelter. We could radio for help here. Lila's hands shook as she tried to make contact with the base. The static on the radio was a cacophony of unanswered calls, and the silence that followed was more terrifying than the creature's approach. We could hear it now, circling the cabin, its breath hot and ragged against the wooden walls. The woman, now fully conscious, spoke in a rushed whisper.
"It's not natural. It's drawn to the energy here, the ancient power that flows through these lands."
She paused, her gaze flickering to the map on the wall.
"There's a cave not far from here, where the lines of power converge. That's where we will be safe. Not here. He'll get in here."
For some reason, I believed her. With no other options, we placed our trust into her words. The cabin's back door led to a narrow path that snaked through the forest. We stumbled through the dark, the creature's howls growing distant, then closer, then distant again, playing a twisted game of cat and mouse with us. Finally, we saw it. The gaping maw of the cave, its entrance obscured by a tapestry of vines. We dragged the woman inside, the darkness swallowing us whole. The air was cold and damp, the ground slick with moisture. We could feel the vibrations of the creature's steps through the earth as it searched for us. In the deepest part of this cave, we found a chamber, the air heavy with an energy that was almost suffocating. The woman collapsed, her breathing ragged.
"Here," she panted. "This is where it can't reach us."
As we huddled together, the creature's howls grew fainter, retreating into the night. The cave was a sanctuary, but the price of admission was steep, our hearts pounding in our chests, the stench of fear thick in the air. In the flickering light of our dwindling flashlights, we tended to the woman's wounds more, piecing together the puzzle of what we had just witnessed. The metallic scent grew stronger in the cave, and the air was charged with an electric tingle that made my skin crawl. As we entered a realm beyond our understanding, a place where the rules of the natural world no longer applied. The creature was just the beginning of the secrets this land held, and we had unwittingly become part of a much larger narrative, a tale woven into the very fabric of Yellowstone itself. We stayed in the cave, the woman's shallow breaths our only company in the suffocating silence. The radio crackled to life, a lifeline to the world we had left behind. We called in our location, our voices shaking, and requested backup immediately. We were met with static, then the calm voice of the dispatcher assuring us help was on the way. The wait was agonizing, the minutes stretching into hours as we huddled together. The woman, whose name we hadn't even asked, spoke in hushed tones of the ancient power that dwelt within the cave, of the spirits that had guarded it for centuries. Where was this woman from? Her words painted a picture of a place where the veil between worlds grew thin, where the unseen could breach the realm of the living. Finally, the distant sound of footsteps and the beam of flashlights pierced the darkness. Relief flooded through us as the faces of our fellow rangers appeared, their expressions a mix of shock and concern. They had found us, and with them, the promise of safety and answers to the questions that swirled in our minds. They carefully escorted the injured woman out of the cave, her eyes never leaving the shadows that danced along the walls. The creature had not returned, but we could feel its presence lingering, a reminder that we had ventured into a place best left untouched. As we made our way back to the park's boundary, the forest felt alive with whispers. The very trees seemed to lean in and watch our retreat. An awaiting ambulance met us at the edge of the wood.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Emochi moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Amit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.
Its siren, a jarring intrusion to the night's quiet. The woman was loaded in, and we watched as the red and blue lights faded into the distance, carrying her to the hospital and away from the horrors of the night. But for us, the night was far from over. We had a report to file, a story to tell no one would believe. The forest had changed, the park had changed, and so have we. The line between the known and the unknown had blurred, leaving us to wonder what other secrets laid hidden in the heart of Yellowstone. As we walked back to the station, the adrenaline wearing off, the weight of our experience settled on our shoulders. We had stepped into a realm of shadows, a place where myth and reality intertwined, and we had come out the other side. But the echoes of that scream, the memory of those gleaming eyes, would haunt us for the rest of our days. A testament to the fact that there was still so much to discover, so much to fear in the wild heart of America's oldest national park. I had spent my whole life in the rugged embrace of Yellowstone National Park. I'd been a ranger for more than 2 decades, and had always loved the quiet solitude of the early morning shifts. The fresh scent of pine and the crunch of gravel under my boots were my daily symphony. However, this tranquility was shattered by a series of chilling reports, stories of a creature lurking in the dense Lamar Valley woods, describing a creature that stood on 2 legs, with fur as black as the moonless night and eyes that glowed like embers. The first reports were dismissed as campfire tales, the overactive imaginations of tourists who had watched one too many horror movies before bed, or got spooked by campfire stories around the fire before going to sleep in their tents. But as the days turned into weeks, and the incidents grew more frequent with people who did not even know each other, and the descriptions of the creature remained eerily consistent, I couldn't ignore the growing sense of unease that rippled through the usually unflappable ranger community. The park's tranquility had been pierced by a shadowy presence that seemed to defy explanation. On a crisp, early autumn morning the following day, I found myself at the epic center of these mysterious occurrences. The crackling of leaves underfoot was the only sound that accompanied me as I approached the spot where that latest attack had been reported. The scene that I found was disturbing, to say the least. Torn tents, shredded clothing, and a campsite in disarray. But it was the unmistakable set of massive paw prints, far too large to be any known local predator, that sent a shiver down my spine. This was no prank, no figment of my imagination. The creature, whatever creature this was real, and it was growing bolder. With a mix of dread and determination, I gathered my thoughts and called for backup. My fellow rangers arrived swiftly, about 30-40 minutes max, and together we combed the area for any signs of this elusive beast. The sun had climbed high into the sky, casting dappled light through the trees, but it did little to warm the icy grip of fear that had settled over our bones. The only sounds were the occasional rustle of a squirrel, or the distant howl of a wolf. We found no trace outside of those prints of the creature, but the feeling of being watched lingered long after we had cleared the area. That evening, the park's leadership called an emergency meeting. The tension in the air was thick, the kind that comes before a storm. The rangers sat in a circle, swapping hushed whispers and theories. The park superintendent, a stoic woman named Laura, addressed the room with a gravity that made the hair on the back of my neck stand on end. She revealed that the Dogman was not a new phenomenon. Reports of similar creatures had been buried in the archives for decades, dismissed as folklore in the ramblings of the superstitious. We decided to set up a covert operation post in the heart of the Lamar Valley, hoping to catch a glimpse of this creature in its natural habitat. Armed with night vision gear and high-powered cameras, we waited in silence as the night descended. The moon was a mere sliver in the sky, casting just enough light to cast long, eerie shadows. My heart raced as the hours ticked by. I had encountered many dangers in my time at this park, but nothing quite as unsettling as this. Just as the first whispers of dawn began to kiss the horizon, we heard it. A low, mournful howl that seemed to resonate with the very soul of the forest. The hair on the nape of my neck stood on end. This sound grew closer, and I felt the presence of something large and primal moving through the underbrush. And then, in a moment that seemed to stretch on for an eternity, a pair of those fiery eyes emerged from the darkness, locking onto us with a predatory gaze. This dogman had found us. It was a creature unlike anything I had ever seen before, standing tall and imposing in the moonlit glade. Its fur was indeed as black as the night, and its eyes burned with an otherworldly light that seemed to pierce through the veil of darkness. The creature took a step closer, and the earth beneath us trembled with its weight. I could almost feel the hot breath of its snarl as it bared its teeth, which were as long and as sharp as carving knives. This thing had to be at least 7 feet tall. Panic shot through the group, and the crack of a twig sent us scrambling for our equipment. The dogman's eyes darted around the clearing, calculating, searching for an escape route or perhaps a target. We managed to snap a few photos before the...
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Creature took off at an ungodly speed, disappearing into the dense woods as quickly as it had appeared. The chase was on. We pursued it, adrenaline pumping through our veins as the sun began to peek over the distant mountaintops. The forest was alive with the sounds of our footsteps and the creature's retreating howls. It was a dance of fear and fascination, with each of us driven by a need to protect the park and its visitors, yet unable to resist the urge to understand this enigma that had invaded our sanctuary. The chase was relentless, and we pushed ourselves to the brink of exhaustion, but the dogman remained just out of reach, a shadow flitting through the trees, always one step ahead. As the day grew brighter, the howls grew fainter, and the creature's tracks grew more difficult to follow. Eventually, we were forced to concede that we had lost it, at least for now. We gathered around the campfire later that evening, sharing our harrowing experience in hushed tones. The gravity of what we had witnessed settled on us like a heavy blanket. The dogman was no myth, and it posed a very real threat to the peace and safety of Yellowstone. We knew that our job had just become indefinitely more complicated, and that we had only just begun to unravel the mystery that lurked in the heart of our beloved park. Over the next few days, the reports of dogman sightings grew more frequent and more disturbing. Tourists spoke of being followed by a creature, or feeling its malevolent gaze from the shadows of the forest. The local wildlife grew skittish, their usual patterns disrupted by the presence of this new, terrifying predator. The once bustling trails grew quiet, and the air of unease grew palpable. Jonah called in a team of experts, cryptozoologists who had dedicated their lives to the study of such creatures. They had arrived with a sense of urgency and awe, eager to tackle the challenge that laid before us. Together, we compiled the evidence, photos, tracks, eyewitness accounts. The experts analyzed the data, their eyes lighting up with every new piece of the puzzle. They spoke of dogman sightings from across the country, of a creature that had been feared and revered by Native American tribes for centuries. They hypothesized that this creature might be the result of a rare genetic mutation, or perhaps even something more supernatural. The nights grew colder, and the stakes grew higher. We patrolled in shifts, our flashlights piercing the darkness as we searched for any sign of this elusive creature. The tension was a living, breathing entity, coiling around us like a snake ready to strike. And then, one fateful night, it did. The radio crackled to life with a frantic call from a nearby ranger.
"It's here!" he gasped. "The Dogman! It's attacking the Mammoth Hot Springs campground!"
Without a second thought, we sprinted towards the chaos, our hearts pounding in unison with the footsteps of the creature we were about to face. The night had become our battleground, and the fate of the park hung in the balance. As we arrived, we saw a blur of movement in the distant trees, and the terrified screams of campers echoing through the air. We spread out, our flashlights casting a web of light over the area. My supervisor's voice was steady over the radio, coordinating our movements like a seasoned general. We approached the campground with caution, each step feeling like it could be our last. The destruction was unlike anything I had ever seen before. The tents were torn to shreds, campfires extinguished, and the scent of fear was thick. The Dogman had been here, and it had left a path of terror in its wake. We found the creature standing over a fallen hiker, its teeth bared in a snarl that seemed to shake the very earth beneath us. The hiker was unconscious, but alive, a testament to the creature's restraint. Our flashlights converged on the Dogman, and for a moment, it seemed to hesitate. Its eyes, those fiery orbs that had haunted my dreams, met mine, and in that instant, I saw something more than just an animal. There was intelligence there, a cunning and a malice that chilled me to the bone. It was a creature that knew it was being hunted, and it was not going to go quietly. With a final defiant howl, it turned and disappeared into the forest, leaving us with the trembling hiker and a renewed sense of urgency. That is now the second time that we have encountered this thing, and after it saw it was outnumbered, or it simply just chose not to fight, darting off into the woods and disappearing within seconds. I know there will be a third time, unfortunately. But that will be a story for another time.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.